Praise God. What did we talk about last week? Glory to God. What did we talk about last week? Dealing with strife, avoiding strife. What you're talking about today, beating up strife. Let me say this before I say anything. So what are you talking about today? Beating up strife. Here it said avoid, yes. Then you also say dealing, yes. You avoid it, you deal with it, now you're going to beat strife out of your life. How do you do that? By attacking the things that causes strife.
Right.
To be honest with you, I have 9 pages of sermon that I want to share with you. How to keep you healing. And this is a lesson how to keep your healing. But the boss wanted me to develop on this for whatever reason, and I don't have to know. Today you're going to be dealing with beating up strife, because strife is one of the things, one of the greatest weapons used by Satan to keep God's people sick, immobilized. And you know, it's ridiculous to see things that people fight for. I mean, seriously? Are you fighting over this nonsense? Folks, let me start by saying there are things that are not worthy fighting for. Life without strife can be so good. If we could understand the fact that strife is one of the most powerful weapons Satan will use to make you sick, to separate you from your brothers, and to hold you under bondage. Satan will not come to you and then just try to muscle his way into you. He knows that you're going to call on the blood of Jesus. You're going to submit to God and resist him. He's not that stupid. I mean, he's stupid, but that has been worse than a cat, stupid wise. I don't understand what you're saying. Brother Harry, before we go to that scriptures I gave you, can you put up there 2 Timothy 2:23? Whatever language you pick is good. Translation you pick is good. It is fundamental for you to understand that the strife is, I believe, the major weapon Satan uses. Follow me now. If Satan tries to knock you down with sexual immorality, something is going to hit you and you're going to run away. Oh no, I should not be doing this. This is not godly. Right? It's the first tendency. You immediately think, no, what if somebody see me dating somebody else and I'm a married person? You know, there's thoughts around that thing that will cause you to, wait a minute. No. If you're going to steal from somebody, if Satan tried to knock you down through stealing, there's going to be a fear of being caught. Are you with me so far? But when it comes to strife, it's different. 2 Timothy 2:23. When it comes to strife, it's different. Because most of the time, we are unguarded. We are what? unguarded. We're not thinking about, hey, wait a minute. If I start a fight here right now, I'm going to be playing Satan's game. Now, be honest with me. Maybe there is. How many of you here, before you start a strife, have you ever thought, you know, I might be just doing what the devil wants me to do? Did anybody ever thought that before you start a strife? None of us. Nobody thinks about this. And this is why it's so important for us to beat up strife. Why? I believe it's the most powerful weapon that the devil's going to use. Watch this. But avoid. The word here is avoid. Avoid. Stay away from it. Get it out of the dictionary. Get away from this. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Now, I'm going to stop. I already spoke about this, but I want to hammer quickly into things here. Foolish. Since when is worth fighting for something foolish? Are you following me here?
Yes.
I don't understand. You're going to start a strife at home with your husband or your wife because they squeeze the toothpaste in the middle, not on the end, like you do. Are you with me so far? That is foolish. Well, I have no idea. I have to go through that toothpaste every day, and he keeps doing the same thing. So what do? Buy another toothpaste. Have it on your bedside. It's going to look, why do you have a toothpaste in there, sweetheart? Because I don't like you squeezing the toothpaste in the center, and it drives me nuts. So that we're not going to fight, you have that one for you, and I have mine here. It might actually tell him something. Are you with me here? But sometimes we are fighting for foolish things. Come on. I know a dude, he doesn't like his food with salt, a little salt. His wife is the opposite. And he asks, what do I do? I have the tendency to get mad all the time. I said, I know the feeling. Not that my wife does that. My wife puts salt in the food. It's the stove that overcook and take the salt away. So, instead of fighting or causing the strife to come up, we have a little container of salt everywhere in the house. I mean, in the kitchen. You know, if you come to the office, there's one in my office. Why am I going to fight? Because I like to eat salty food. My blood pressure has always been low. Not low, but always in the lower side. One time, doctor said, you got to eat some salt every morning. Put some salt on your tongue. I said, you're nuts. That's a better way to deal with this. Sometimes we strive for foolish things. He said, avoid that kind of stuff. Why? That is going to make you sick. Can you imagine if day after day after day after day, your spouse keeps squeezing the toothpaste in the middle, after some time, you're going to begin to get angry and resentful. Why can't he squeeze the end? They don't even think about this. You're getting sick. And you're fussing and you're cussing and the whole nine yard. What? What's wrong with you? You! What did I do? Can you squeeze the toothpaste in the back? Yeah, honey, I'll do it. Tomorrow morning, go squeeze right in the middle again. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. I love the way the distinction is placed. Ignorant disputes. Oh, I think that Ray Lewis is the greatest player ever to play on the Raven. No, he's not. Joe Flacco is the greatest player. No, he's not. And then it's going to be one whole hour of what Ray Lewis did and another whole hour of what Flock is doing. How idiotic is this? Are you with me here?
Yes.
He's saying, avoid foolish and ignorant dispute. Who I? They generate strife. I'm a little scared because the Lord wants me to preach this on Sunday morning. I said, again? What's it? I said, yes, sir. So what's the big deal, preacher? Can I have verse 26, Brother Harry, before I start preaching? When you have strife, a fuss comes among you and your spouse or family members, right?
Yes.
That they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil. When you are strifing, fighting, cussing, you are ensnared by the devil. And that's not the worst. Having been taken captive by him to do his will. So what you're saying? The strife, the fight, the cussing, the nagging generates strife. And once the strife takes place, the snaring from the devil is there. And then we become captive to the devil. And do whatever he wants us to do. You know, some people are hot-tempered. They're looking for an opportunity to blow up. And therefore, your blood pressure goes up. You're in a risk of having a stroke. The arteries of your heart will be dilated. That might affect your kidneys function. Your poor liver will have to work overtime. In other words, you're a mess. All because of strife. But, preacher, I don't have none of this problem. The only thing I have is my husband, every time he sits on that car, he puts his chair all the way back like a drug dealer. I hate that. Buy another car. I can't afford to buy another car. $1,000 can buy you an old Volvo. I don't want to drive an old Volvo. Then get sick and get angry with the way that your husband drives. Folks, we cannot control other people thinking. This has to get through our heads. We can't control the way other people think or act. Strife is not the answer. Watch this. Brother Harry, give me the backslide the translation here. It is it's a little nuts, but watch this. Enabling them to escape the devil's trap. When you and I avoid this strife, we might actually be enabling somebody to escape the devil's trap. Every time somebody comes to fight you, if you don't fight back, the devil can put the trap on that person's life. Are you following me so far? And it says, where they are caught and held captive, first to run his errands. The strife mode is actually one of the errands of the devil. And when people are held captive, they will do the will of their capture. Are we together so far? Are we together so far?
Yes.
We don't want to do that. We want to be healthy.
Amen.
And wealthy.
Yes.
And we are not going to give the devil the pleasure to steal our health.
Amen.
Neither our wealth. So we're going to find for ways to beat up strife. Before I give you simple and practical ways, I want to go over a few things with you. I believe that strife is an evil spirit that will create an atmosphere of anger. And that anger usually hangs just below the surface. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yes.
Did everybody get what I said?
Yes.
I believe that strife is an evil spirit that creates an atmosphere of anger, and that anger hangs just below the surface. And the problem with that is it will make us miserable. It will cause bickering. It will cause arguing. It will lead us into behaviors, all sorts of behaviors that offend people. Strife is a trap the devil lays to destroy marriages, churches, family relationships, businesses, and people's health. It's very important for us to understand strife, how dangerous it is. And it's even more important for us to learn how to stand against strife. Now, many things can cause strifes. I'm going to give you some biblical evidence that prove different causes of strife so you can learn to beat strife. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 28, verse 25, it tells us about the very first cause of strife. Will you care to read it with me? He who is of a proud heart, but he who trusts in the Lord. So what is the first cause of strife? Pride. What? Now, if we truly trust God, there's no need for us to be proudful or jealous of anybody. Brother Harry, may I have this translation on the New Living Translation? Greed causes fighting. Trusting the Lord leads to prosperity. What? That's what he's saying. Greed causes fighting, strife. Trusting the Lord leads to prosperity. You want to see how crazy it gets? May I have the backslide translation, Brother Harry? A grasping person stirs up trouble, but trusting God brings a sense of well-being. Am I making a point here?
Yes.
You want to say something? Brother Harry, may I please have the ESV, please? Watch this. A greedy man but the one who trusts in the Lord. So what you're saying, preacher, the King James called pride, the other version is called greedy. Are you with me here? And this is why I say, folks, if we truly trust God, there's no need for us to ever be greedy or jealous of anybody. Brother Harry, can you put the NIV there, please? Watch this. A greedy man stirs up dissensions, but he who trusts in the Lord will prosper. So are you going somewhere, preacher? Yes, I am. I believe that if you believe God loves you and has a plan for your life, and if you believe that His timing is always right, there is no need to be greedy or to envy a single person in our lives. Why you say that? Folks, it has been proven that people who are greedy are never satisfied with what they have. They always want more. And they will stir up strife for few reasons. Reason number one is that mentality, I want this, I want that. They're always in wanting. They always want more. In many cases, our wants can cause strife, whether it is for promotion or a material thing. And even in ministry, people are striving, people are fighting because they want to climb the ladder in church. What a nonsense. The downside of that they don't realize that those who have a title and a position will be dealt with more strictly by God. The responsibilities are much bigger. Are you with me here?
Yes.
So what's the problem with that? The problem with that is many times when we are striving for position in church or for things that we want, I want this, I want that, we jump into the flesh. According to James chapter 4, verse 1, when you jump into the flesh, you face a problem immediately. Read it with me. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You see that? So what you saying, preacher? The strife that exists among the people of God comes from the flesh. Watch this. May I have the NLT here, brother, please? Watch this. What is causing the quarrels and fight among you? Don't they come from
evil desires that war within you?
Am I saying something here? This is the source of strife. And when we are in a strife mode, evil desires are at its peak and we are held in captivity by the devil to do his errands. Now, the backslider translation has it in a little crazy way, but still worth reading. Where do you think all these appalling wars and quarrels come from? Do you think they just happen? Think again. They come about because you want your own way and fight for it deep inside yourselves. Lord, have mercy on us. The second reason that people are greedy and lead it to gender strife is that mentality, if I only had so and so, I'd be happy. Do you know anybody like this? Somebody recently told me, Pastor, if I only had $10,000 now, I'd be the happiest person on earth. All my problems would go away. I said, you're so mistaken. No, I'm not. I said, yes, you are. I guarantee you, if you had $100,000 now, you would be worse off. This is ridiculous. Okay. Then I said, why would you say that? He said, well, all my bills are $6,000. If I had $10,000, I would pay all my bills off and put a down payment on a car. And I'm thinking, if you decided to buy a used car, I would go along with it. Well, guess what? Somebody died on the family, and that person got $9,000 inheritance. They didn't pay all the bills. They put a down payment in a used car. Now, this family is about to be evicted from where they are in South Baltimore, because whatever they make is not even enough to pay the rent. Children are going hungry because there isn't enough money to pay for their bills. You know, the thing is so bad now that every time that husband and wife talk, each one of them has a big machete in their hands. If you try to cut me, I'll cut you first. There is a war at home. Strife. They are doing what the devil wants them to do. And once the strife kicks in, you are at the will of the devil. You've been treated by the devil as a puppet. You lose your health. You lose your healing. You lose your peace. You lose your blessings. Are we together so far?
Yes.
We don't want that stuff to be in our midst.
Yes.
We don't.
Yes, Lord.
Somebody told me last week, you know, preacher, I kind of disagree with you. Nobody can live without strife. I asked, have you ever tried? No. It's impossible. Have you ever tried? I said, no. It's impossible. Have you ever tried? Oh, forget it. I mean, you say it's impossible, you didn't even try. Are you with me here?
Yes, sir.
My mom used to say it takes two to fight. And then she says, if one is not willing, two will never fight. So if it's about, if a strife is about to break in between you and some member in the family, walk away. Hey, I'm talking to you. Love you too. Are you with me here? The devil will do everything in his power to cause a strife. Because once the strife comes, he got you. You are ensnared. You're going to be doing his errand. And your health go right through the window. We're going to beat up strife by avoiding greedy or pride. We're going to avoid that if I only had... I guarantee you, if you only had that, you would still be miserable. Anything else, preacher? Well, let me give you a few things real quick. I'm getting excited here. Think about this for a moment. How content are you with what you have? Well, you know, I wish I had a new car. Well, move over from wishing mode and start claiming the promises of God.
Yes.
Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, in Christ Jesus, all of God's promise for us is?
Yes and amen.
So stop striving. There's a couple that used to come here, 3 kids. I'm going to use your language. She's fair, and he is dark-skinned. He said, preacher, I'm about to go berserk. Every time this woman sees something, she wants it. And when I tell her, we can't afford, then she tells me, well, if you love me, you would have gave it to me. I mean, there's a lot of men out there that would be willing to have me, and they would have given me all this thing. And this poor guy went into this mode, and when they came to see me, they had $256,000 in debt. This is 11 years of strife. I want to do it. I want that. I want this. I want that. I want that. So I got to sit down with them. First thing we did, we made a budget. I said, I need every credit card on my desk. What? Every credit card. If you're going to do this, all the credit cards has to come here. And you're not allowed to use anything unless I say so. This is ridiculous. Is this what you put me through? So somehow he convinced the woman to go through with it. Within 6 months, we got the forgiveness of one government debt. That was $125,000. That's like loans that they had had for so many years. Then we consolidate all the bills into one bill. We were able to knock off all the interest on the credit cards by negotiation. Long story short, within 6 months, they took a trip together from here to Walt Disney in California. The husband, the wife, and the 3 kids. Well, 8 months later, she changed job because one of her best friends, girlfriend, there you go, changed job. You gotta come and work here. They pay more. And we do the same thing. It's easy job. She changed job. That kind of put things in the rail. Well, they are making more money. Yes. But her girlfriend just bought a brand new Kia Sorento. And that is the best SUV for the money. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then he comes and says, Pastor, can we just make a little exception here and get our Kia Sorento? I get all the credit cards. Here we go. I'm done with both of you. Last time I heard, they had to move in with Mama because they lost their place. The Sorento was repossessed and they're about to get divorced. How content are you with what you have? You know what I'm talking about? When you're not content with what you have, the strife will come, the devil will have snared you, and you're going to be as a puppet in the hands of the devil. You know, there's a lot of things I wish I had, but I don't care if I don't have. Are you with me here? But I'll tell you this, it will not cause a fight. It will not stir up strife, because every time I get into the strife mode, I am snared by the devil as a puppet doing his will. Last time I heard, his will is to kill, to steal, and to destroy. The devil is going to kill you. And this is why it's so important to fight strife. So, how do I start? Let's start with Psalms 37:4. First way to fight strife. First step in fighting strife. Read it with me. Delight yourself in the Lord. Your husband is not your provider. Your wife is not your provider. They are a facilitator. Y'all didn't hear what I said?
Yes.
Tell your neighbor, your spouse is your facilitator. That God will use. I don't have my spouse. Better yet. Jesus is your facilitator that the Father will use. Delight yourself in the Lord. This is the main, it's a huge thing in fighting the strife. You don't have a spouse? Jesus is your facilitator. Jesus is your facilitator. And I know that it's difficult to trust in something that you don't see. But that's the whole point. If you have to see, it's no longer faith. It's a way to exercise whatever is inside of us. Take time to delight yourself. Somebody just asked me recently, you always talk about this delight yourself stuff. How do I delight myself in God? I said, simple. What's the thing that you like to do most? Watch football. Why? I like it. So what do? Well, I go home and turn on my TV, sit down and start watching. What does it got to do with anything? I say, okay, let me get that straight. You say that you enjoy watching football, right? Right. And what you do when you come from work, you flip on the TV, have popcorn. Oh, yes. Legs up and you watching everything, every move, the touchdowns, the fumbles. Yes, 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 yes. Do exactly the same with God.
Amen.
What? How is it even possible? There's got to be an attitude of delight when you come to pray. There's got to be an attitude of delight where you're going to take time and sit down and look for God, seek after God, and enjoy the time that you have with God. It's not that I'm here. Well, God, here am I again. Can I have some, you know, some goods? And then, well, God, sorry. Football starts in 5 minutes. Got to go. Are you with me here? Like God, like you like chocolate. Delight yourself as when you have that vanilla ice cream in your flavoring that butter pecan with peanut butter. That kind of feeling has to be on your time with God. I tell you this, if that kind of feeling is there, you're going to start beating up strife just like that. First step. Don't be beaten by the devil left and right. You are worthy. You are better than whatever the devil is offering you. Stop the fuss. Stop the fighting. Enjoy life. Life don't have to be so complicated. Life doesn't have to be sad. Life doesn't have to be a fight. If things don't go my way, I put a fight. Get real. It will never go your way. And it's better when to go God's way.
Amen.
Plain and simple. You know, we just saw a friend and he said, I know that you know this, but I want to throw it anyway. I said, oh boy, here we go. He said, you can control among the people that call you in church. True. Make the best out of it. I said, okay. Well, you don't feel like answering. Give it to the secretary. So why would I do that? They're not your people, right? No. Let she answer. Why? They will stop calling. And then he says, better suggestion. When they're nagging you, tell them I will pray for you when you come to service.
Amen.
I said, man, that's from God. He says, life doesn't have to be complicated.
Amen.
I mean, make the best out of this. Then I even joke, can I charge $25 for a phone call? Then he said, nobody will be calling your office. What you're trying to say, people? Preacher, what I'm trying to say is this. Life doesn't have to be miserable. We don't have to be bent out of shape. We don't have to be at war with each other. We don't have to be at war with the world and with God because we don't get our way. You are precious in the sight of God.
Amen.
God said in His word that all of His promise in Christ Jesus for you is yes and amen.
Amen.
Jump on it. Cut off the fight. You're wasting your time. You're losing your health. You're wounding your heart. And you're being played by the devil as a puppet. But I know that you are not like this. Tell your neighbor, strife is over from this point forth. I'm going to enjoy life in Jesus' name. God bless you.